If a man die, shall he live again? This is a question that I would like to answer today in these few moments with the book. Now, some men say, a man who dies shall not live again. Some philosophers say, he may live again. But, dear listening friend, God says, a man who dies shall live again. Now, the one who first asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again, was a man by the name of Job, one of the earliest writers of the Bible. By inspiration, he wrote the answer to his own question. He received the answer by revelation from God. Listen to what he says in chapter 19. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Yes, Job believed in the resurrection of the body. Because of God's revelation to his ancient people Israel in his holy word, the Jews believed in the resurrection of the body. When Jesus was here, he taught the truth of the resurrection. However, there was a sect of the Sadducees, the rationalists of the day, that did not accept God's revelation and hence did not believe in the truth that Jesus taught about the resurrection. Also, during the days of the apostles, when they preached the resurrection, Paul, particularly in that city of Athens, amongst all the philosophers, met with opposition when he spoke of the resurrection of the body. And so it is today. There are those who do not accept God's revelation. Well, in fact, man, who is in his sins and doesn't believe God, doesn't want to believe in the resurrection of the dead. He doesn't want to think that he has to be raised to meet a holy God. But, dear friend, man's unbelief does not affect the truth of God one bit. Remember that. Regardless of how you might think about a thing, or I might think about a thing, that does not change the truth of God's word. Now, I would like to turn you to the Bible. The Bible plainly teaches the truth of the resurrection of the dead. The bodies of all men who die are to be raised. I draw attention, first of all, to this fact today from the 5th chapter of John's Gospel. Notice with me as I read. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, says Jesus, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, in these words of Jesus, you will notice that the fact of the resurrection of all is clearly stated without question. And the speaker, I remind you, is the Son of Man, the Son of God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, into whose hands all judgment has been committed. The bodies of the dead will come forth out of their graves. This he plainly states. Two classes are mentioned in this resurrection, and they're distinguished. First, you will recall, those that have done good. Who are these? What does it mean to do good? Well, when the Savior was here, men asked what they should do to work the works of God. And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Those that have done good are those who have accepted Christ as their personal Savior, and they will be raised to a resurrection of life. Who are those that have done evil? This is another class who will be raised. Why, what evil is shown us in Scripture. Evil is to disobey God. It is to neglect the great salvation he has provided. It is simply not to believe in what God has done and not to believe in his Son. God says, for instance, repent, and men do not repent. Jesus says, come, men do not come. This is unbelief. This is disobedience. These are those who have done evil. And these are those who are going to be raised in a resurrection of damnation. Now, you will notice that the Bible teaches very plainly, then, that there are two resurrections. Now, it is man's erroneous idea that the resurrection of all men will take place at one time. This is not so. The Bible clearly teaches us that the two resurrections do not take place at the same time. They are separated in time by 1,000 years. The Bible speaks of the first resurrection as that unto life, and the second resurrection as that unto judgment. And I repeat, the Bible shows us, as we shall seek to show today, that these two resurrections are separated by 1,000 years. And dear listening friend, every single one of us is going to have his part in either the first or the second resurrection. Now, the resurrection of Christ from the dead constitutes the first fruits of the first resurrection, the resurrection of life, the resurrection of those who have died believing in Jesus. It is a resurrection from among the dead. It is an out resurrection, shall we say, and it implies that there are others still left in their graves. Now, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the chapter which is really the resurrection of the bodies of the believer, we read these words: "If in this life we have hope in Christ only, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, and every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." How wonderful these words are! What a comfort and what assurance it imparts to the believer, one who loses a loved one, and all those who anticipate death, who die believing in Jesus. Because Christ has been raised, he's the first fruits, and it assures us that we who believe on him shall be raised at his coming. Now, first of all, let us consider, what does the expression mean, "they that are Christ's"? Who are those that are Christ's? And then we want to consider, when will this first resurrection take place? But now, as to who are they who belong to Christ? Now, is my listener in that company? Well, have you been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been purchased by his blood? Do you belong to him? Well, now you have, if you have trusted him as your Savior. If you have received him, and if you are trusting on his finished work which he accomplished at Calvary, you do belong to him. In the language of the Lord Jesus as the Good Shepherd in John 10, in regards to his own sheep, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, if this is true of you, if you have heard his voice and believed on him and thus received everlasting life, you are one of his sheep. You are one of his own. You are still alive, but you may die. Millions who belong to Christ, that are Christ, have died. Where are they now? Well, those who have died, their spirits and souls are with the Lord in paradise and glory. Their bodies are in the graves. But shall they remain there? No, indeed no. The Bible tells us that the bodies of the believers shall be raised when? At his coming. Turn with me now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 to give the time of this resurrection. In verse 13, Paul says, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. God has given us his revelation that we may know what happens to those who die believing in Jesus and the hope that we have regarding them. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. Death is referred to as sleep for the believer, that is, the sleep of the body, not of the soul, but the body put to rest. Those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him when Christ comes back to set up his kingdom on earth. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep, those of our loved ones and all those who are Christ who have died. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What words are these indeed? When then will the believer's body be raised? At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his saints. We often speak of it as the rapture of the church, the time when the Lord himself will come to the air with a shout. That moment is drawing near. It may take place at any time. Those who have died believing in Jesus at that time will have their bodies raised out of corruption. This corruption must put on incorruption, and it will. We're going to have a body such as his own body of glory. We who have not died will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, when this great event takes place, this will be the resurrection of life, the resurrection of those that have died believing in Jesus. Is my listening friend amongst that company? Oh, God grant that you will be. Because remember this, unless you have part in the first resurrection, you will have part in the second resurrection. We refer to that now as we turn to Revelation chapter 20. In verse 4, we have given to us the whole company of the resurrected saints who are going to live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Notice that, if you will, in verse 4 of Revelation 20. I will not read it, but I ask you to do so. I'm going to read the next verse, verse 5, which has to do with truth concerning the second resurrection. Notice it now. The first resurrection having taken place, Christ the first fruits when he rose 2,000 years ago, and then the rapture of the saints, the raising of the believing dead at the coming of Christ, and then we read, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. The rest of the dead, those that have died in their sins, died not believing in Jesus. Those that have done evil, they have rejected Christ. Oh, they're going to be raised. This is the second resurrection. The first resurrection is that which is a resurrection of life. And the Bible says in verse 6 of chapter 20 in Revelation, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Are you going to have part in that first resurrection? You will, if you have Christ as your Savior. It says that concerning them, upon them the second death hath no power. What is the second death? The second death implies the resurrection of the unbelieving dead to be brought before God at the great white throne and to have the Son of God consign such into eternal punishment, into the lake of fire. This is the second resurrection. Oh, but thank God, there shall not be one at the great white throne judgment to be judge of his sins who has had part in the first resurrection. We shall be beyond death. We shall be with Christ. And we shall be in a resurrection of life eternal to be with him and like him forever. This is the believer's hope. But now in regards to the second resurrection, notice what we read. In verse 10 and 11 to the end of chapter 20, we read of a great white throne and the one that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Think of it, no standing. I tell you, dear friend, if you die without Christ, you have no standing, and you're going to be brought out of your graves to face him whom you have rejected. or neglected. Oh, how solemn! I saw the dead. It's the unbelieving dead here at the great white throne. Small and great stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And we read the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. We have two books here. One is the book of life. The book of life contains the names of all those who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior, have been born again into the family of God, and are thus in the family register. Are you there? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? It may be. Oh, I trust that today you will see the necessity of being born again before you leave this world, before death calls you away or before the Lord comes. Dear friend, it's urgent that you heed the voice of the Lord Jesus and come unto him now while you may. He will receive you. He died for you. Coming is simply believing on him. But if you don't, your name is not written in the book of life, you will be brought before the great white throne judgment to be judged. How? According to your works. That's another book. Judgment in hell will be according to one's works. Oh, it'll be hell to be simply shut out from the presence of God indeed. But God is going to see that there are those who are beaten, as it were, with few stripes and some with many. Judgment will be according to your works. Then we read that the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades. Death has to do with the bodies. Hades has to do with the condition of the souls and spirits which are unseen. All this is delivered up. And we read here that the dead which were in them are judged every man according to his works. The judgment is individual. And God is going to judge righteously. He knows your life. He knows whether you have accepted Christ or not. And when you are brought before this great white throne, there will be absolutely no hope. It'll be simply to read and hear the condemnation as the Lord himself reads it from the books. And you shall then, we read, be cast into the lake of fire. It'll be the end also of death. It's the end of time that this judgment takes place. This is the second resurrection. And we read that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second resurrection. This is the resurrection to judgment. This is eternal punishment. Oh, dear friend, God would warn you, and Christ would have you be saved from that by coming to him now. Why will you die? Now is the day of salvation. Turn ye, turn ye. God commands you to repent. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he says this, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You still have opportunity to escape the second resurrection. You still have opportunity to assure yourself of being a partaker in the first resurrection. Will you not be ready by trusting Christ today? God grant that you will turn to his word, and I leave this with you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, it's a word of promise from Jesus, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. May God bless his word to your soul. Loving God, our Father, we thank thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which gives peace and hope and joy and eternal life to everyone who receives him as Savior. We ask that today every listener will be aroused to his need and will be concerned as to escaping the second resurrection, to have part in the first resurrection, to be blessed and holy. O our Father, we ask thy blessing then. Turn men to thee in repentance. Draw them to thee, Lord Jesus, in faith. And we ask thy blessing to this end in thine own most worthy and precious name. Amen.